This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show Series 5, Episode 1, Ashes Dynamics. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we're back! Series 5, Episode 1, and Mark Garraway is straight out of the blocks talking about changing room, culture, and apps. Meanwhile, Sam Lavery makes a special appearance and talks us through high catching. All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's time once more. The wait is over. Finally, after 3 weeks in the wilderness, we're back. It's the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show Series 5, or Season 5 if you're from certain parts of the world. And we're back to talk more about cricket, cricket coaching, and any other cricket badger related topics. I'm David Hinchliffe. I am in charge of things here at Pitch Vision Academy. And of course, as always, alongside me, Director of Cricket Coaching for Millfield School, it's Mark Garraway. Welcome back, Gareth, and a belated Happy New Year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're a few days in now, aren't we? But yeah, I suppose it is still New Year. We're at the right end of it anyway, so all is good.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, all is good for me and you, but all is not quite so good if you are of an English persuasion, especially considering the scoreline of the Ashes that happened recently. And it appears to me that if you're an Australian, you'll be cock-a-hoop. And I've already had contact from various people in Australia telling me all about how rubbish England are. And that's, I guess, to be expected. But from a coaching point of view, Gareth, I think it's quite an interesting subject, purely because on the one hand, we have two sides who are, on paper, not that different in terms of skills and talent. But then you look at the scoreline and it certainly reflects a gulf in the difference. And I was thinking perhaps it's something to do with the dressing rooms and the team dynamics. That's what the talk's been all around with the journalists. And I know you're a bit of a fan of that kind of side of coaching and building a team. So where do you see the difference in the dynamics between the two teams between Australia and England?
The interesting thing for me is that it was noted, and actually I listened back to a few of our shows that we had during last summer when the English Ashes, or the English version of the Ashes, over in the UK was on. And it was pretty obvious in our discussions that we recognised that Australia were beginning to do things quite well. In particular, their planning around the England batters I thought was excellent. From a tactical point of view, there was definitely stuff going on. But, you know, inside the changing room, I'm like everybody else at the moment. I'm hearing information and reading information from the newspapers, and having been on the other side of it and being not directly written about, but the environments that I've been in written about, I know that there's not always a direct correlation between the truth and what goes on in the newspapers. So I'm not going to fall into that trap.
Yeah, we're not really interested in gossip on this show. There's a time and a place for that, perhaps, but this is definitely not it. And you can't speculate on what's going on, as you say, in those dressing rooms. But, Gareth, more generally speaking, you must have been in dressing rooms that are harmonious and everyone is... You get that feeling that everyone is a team, and you must have been in dressing rooms where you get that feeling where it's not quite working. And the reasons behind that must be different every time, I'm sure. From a coach's point of view, if you feel like things aren't quite working in some way, where do you go with that?
Well, I think, you know, you've got to confront it, haven't you? You've got to firstly find out whether your view is an accurate one, because it could be that you're just in a different place or reading the signs differently to everybody else in the group. So that's where your management team comes in. And if you haven't got one of those, it's your senior players or even your junior players that will give you a view of where the team and the dressing room is, just to check that you're on track, because sometimes you don't always read it particularly well. I always used to have a young player called James Hildreth, who's now vice captain at Somerset County Cricket Club. He was always my barometer, really. So if I felt something, I'd just check it with him, check how the changing room was, and he'd normally come back with some really good information to confirm that I was on the right track, and therefore a conversation needed to take place. Or actually, I might have just read it slightly wrong and just continue as we've been going along. But one of the things that is easy to always point the finger at in terms of team dynamics is when you're losing, because there's this sort of layman's view that when the team wins, everything's rosy in the camp, and when the team loses, everything isn't rosy in the camp. And to be quite honest, that isn't always the case. You can have a developing team that is losing quite a lot, actually, that are doing some blimmin' good things in terms of their team dynamics. And in fact, if you look at Ashes in England last summer, the messages that Michael Clarke was coming out with in his post-match interviews in some of those games in particular where they were close games, you know, it was a session difference as opposed to a landslide victory as we've seen in this series. The words that were coming out of his mouth, which sounded very authentic, were that they were doing the right things. They were working hard. They were having good conversations through Darren Lehman, who was going about it in a very cricket fashion. And the team was reacting well. And there was a belief that it would only take a little bit of time for those good team dynamics, despite being in a losing position, would quickly turn into a strong performance and strong results and outcomes. So there's a great example of doing the things right, even when you're losing. And you've still got a good team dynamic. It just happens if your outcome hasn't been brilliant, and now it's turned around. So it's not just whether you lose, it's a rubbishy environment, and whether you win, it's a good one, which is where the press go on all of these things straight away.
Yeah, I guess when you lose, you start to look for reasons why you've lost, and then you start to look at things which maybe in the past would have been ignored because the team was winning, and then you start to blame those things, even if it isn't necessarily to do with those things.
You do, and the great reviewers review the good times as well as reviewing the bad times. And most people, and we talked about this and I've written about it a lot, review when you lose and start to pick fault. But actually the real strength of reviewing is let's define why we're doing well, let's define why we won, and what can we do to improve this? You know, is there anything that we're doing now that isn't optimal? And therefore let's put a behaviour in that helps us to go even further in the right direction. And then equally, when you lose a game, you know, it's rare. There might have been an example or two on this tour, but it's rare that you haven't got anything right through the journey of the game. So it's important that you pick the good things out of when you do stuff wrong, and equally try to eradicate the things that that you know aren't going to be good for you in the long term. So review is a constant thing, not just something you do when you lose.
Well, Gareth, sir, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because gate crashing the fun. We've got our new regular correspondent, Sam Lavery. Welcome to the show, Sam.
How are you? Well,
very good, thanks. You've come to the party a little bit late, but we're.
I have, yes, I'm afraid, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to do some lower order slogging for us, though, I think.
Probably the best place for me.
And I feel like I've been working with you closely over the last couple of weeks because if you remember back to the summer, we did some coaching videos with Ian Brunschweiler, and you were one of the stars of those videos.
Yeah, well, I was in the video if that's what you mean.
I've been editing those, so yeah, you've made some appearances there. So anyone who's picked up one of those on Pitch Vision Academy, you can see Sam in action batting and trying to hit me with a cricket ball while I hold a camera.
And actually, the things and the ideas that Bruncher uses in those videos are quite simple, but a really good way to change up the way you deliver a net and to change the way you think about putting a net session together. So none of it's, I think Bruncher will be the first to admit, none of it's massively complicated, but it's just good ideas of ways of expanding what you're doing already to try and make it a little bit more different, a little bit more interesting for those who are attending, and hopefully get a bit more out of them.
Yep, simple, fun, and effective. So check those out if you do any coaching or you just want to spice up a session. Right, let's finish off this section with a yes-no round. So we've got three questions, and for those who are regular listeners, you already know that those three questions can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that we want to say. So, Gareth and Lavers, if you want to do the honours with the yes or the no this week, I'll read out the questions. First question. Some people need more planning time than others.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. Coaches try to make things work. Scientists try to prove stuff doesn't work.
No.
No.
Third question, the IPL auction system makes it hard to build a team.
Yes.
Yes.
And that second question, by the way, courtesy of a friend of the show, Ian Pont. Ponty likes a controversial statement.
I've not noticed. Not noticed that, actually. I think his Twitter account's one of the blandest on there.
He never says anything, does he? Yeah.
No, never puts himself...
If only he said what he felt.
Exactly.
And now it's the triumphant return of the question section. Two questions sent in by listeners, and we attempt to answer them. And the best question, of course, wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And if you want to send in your question, you can do so by emailing us on coach@pitchvision.com. And we also got some more details on how you can get in touch towards the end of the show, so keep listening for that. But let's go over to the questions, and I'll be in charge of reading them out this week. And the first one is from our friend Wolf, who often makes an appearance. And Wolf's question is about coaching apps, which is just on the sweet spot for me. Cricket coaching and technology all in one question. You can't really do much more than that. And here we go. He said, I saw this app and I thought of Coach Garraway. It needs a bit of hardware to go with the free app, and it's designed for golf, but it looks adaptable. I imagine that it's on the shopping list. And it's an app called Swing Tip Golf Swing Analyzer. So, Garraz, have you had a chance to have a little look at this? And I guess the wider question is not only what do you think of this app, but how do you evaluate these kind of things so you don't end up going down a rabbit hole with these kind of apps?
I've had a look at the app. I like it in principle, but I haven't got the Bluetooth hardware yet, but I'm going to get it because I'm interested. I'm curious. And my approach to looking at these apps and seeing where they've got any value is to give them a good old go. And that's my view. And I'm a bit of a doer when it comes to assessing things. I have to get inside it and actually feel it and experience it. So that's the way I'm going to go about it. And that's the way that I go about all these apps. And sometimes I find that actually they're going to really enhance what we already do as a cricket program and I already do as a coach. And sometimes you find that actually, we're already covering that in a way that's probably a little bit more efficient for the way that we go about things. So I'm a big fan of technology, as the Wolf says, but I'm going to give it a go. And I'll get back to you, Wolf, on how this one goes. But that's the way that I go about all apps. I give them a go and see how they work for me.
Yeah, I'm the same as you, Garraz. I always like to just try something out, see how it works, try and break it a little bit, you know, try and push it a little bit and see what happens, and just basically get it wrong quite a lot until you work out how to get it right. And if you can't work out how to get it right, try something else. You're an iPad man as well, aren't you, Lavers? Where are you with this one?
Absolutely. Anything that's got a battery in and a touch screen, I'm all over it, really. If I could have a go at this as well, I'd be pretty keen to. I've had a look at it. I had a read. I've downloaded the app, obviously, with no benefit at this stage, but just to see what it looks like. And I think sometimes instantly you can look at an app or a program and you know whether it's going to be of any benefit, or more likely than not, you know if it's not going to be of any benefit. And then there are certain programs or apps that are, like Garraz says, you need to get involved in them before you actually can cast a judgment. So I'm quite keen to have a look at it, and if it makes a little bit of a difference and it introduces a different angle to the way you can analyse things and the way you can assess what you're doing, then it's going to be beneficial. I'd also like to think outside the box with it a little bit as well. It's obviously designed to assess your swing, but I mean, there's no reason but that can't just be something that's held by a bowler and it's assessing the path of his bowling arm or the path of his non-bowling arm or whatever it might be as well. So he can do a construction of a bowling action as well with it, I would imagine. So there may be a few different options of how we can go about using it. But yeah, anything like that, give it a go. Use it for what it's meant for. Use it for what it's not meant for as well, and see what you can get out of it. Because until you have a go at them, you don't really know. But I'd definitely give it a go.
The only thing that I look at on it is, you know, obviously it's designed for golf, and in golf, most decent players tend to hit it forward. Not myself often, but, you know, most decent players do. And if I think back to my batting as well, I reckon it's a narrow iPad screen to be able to track my Toblerone of a cricket bat and where the ball goes off of it. I was fairly good sort of backward a square on the leg side, and I'm not sure that the iPads are wide enough to track the ball off of my bat. So that's my only thing on it. But as Sam says, one of the things that we've got an opportunity in this technology world now isn't just to look at an app and see if it works for us. There's also the option, as there is with all of these apps, to be able to feed back, to open up the developer's eyes to maybe some different ways of going about it. And if you look at the apps, just like the stuff that we do, we get a lot of feedback from people that use it, and that helps us to generate some updates on Pitch Vision software and the various other softwares around the world. And if you look at something like Coach's Eye or an Uber Sense or any of those, there's a button down the bottom which gives you the opportunity to feedback on different things that you'd like to see on it. And that's the great thing about this technological world in which we live, is that this is the first time we've seen it, but there could be opportunity for us to influence, and when I say us, I mean people that are listening to this show, to influence the way that they go about further developments and maybe broadening our horizons beyond the golf swing and into other disciplines. You could almost see this working for tennis and for baseball and for cricket and all manner of different activities. So that's why I'm excited about this world that we live in, because there's opportunity to feed back and to develop.
And just taking it back a step further for maybe players who are listening or coaches who are new to the game, why would you want to analyse a swing or the movement of a bowling action in that way?
Well, I think it's really important that people have got an awareness of what's actually happening. And whilst video does that for us sometimes, some people connect into video better than they do for example, stickmen. Some of the best coaching analysis stuff that I've been involved in has been through a system called the Vicon system, which basically analyses how all of the bones and joints move in the body. And you create this stick man of whoever's bowling on it, which is fascinating. Some people connect into that more than they would do of actually watching a television and seeing themselves bowl on an iPad or whatever the case may be. So it's horses for courses in how people take in information best. And it might be that this app hits the demands and the preferences of certain people.
Absolutely. I agree with that. There are a number of different ways to approach any type of situation, really. And that goes back to a conversation myself and Gareth actually had the other day, which we won't go into, but there are
such a tease.
Yeah, there maybe another time. There are different ways to approach it. There's generally one outcome, or there's a group of outcomes that we're looking to work towards. But there's more than one way to hit that outcome, or there are a number of ways to hit the final goal. So all people react differently to different types of stimuli or information, and being able to cater for as many different people as possible as you can. Is what our job is. It's not about people adapting to us as coaches, or it's more about us adapting to them and making sure that they can, we can fit into their way of thinking rather than the other way around.
Okay, let's head on to the next question, and this one's from Sangeeta. Sangeeta's a coach as well. And Sangeeta says, I'm running a club in India and we have a decent group of players. I don't know whether that's decent players or a decent group. I don't quite know what the difference is there, but anyway, he says,
I think there are 70 of them, but they're not very good.
Yeah, we practice 4 to 5 times a week, including batting, fielding and fitness. Oh, hopefully bowling as well. I wanted to know how we can practice high catching. We want to hit balls to a considerable height. Are there any methods to do this? We're not getting enough height with leather balls, so is there any alternative? Now, that's an interesting question. I mean, generally speaking, you would think that's not too difficult. You have a cricket bat, you hit the ball up in the air and they catch it. But I guess I wondered if there was anything innovative or thoughtful that we wanted to add to high catching practice.
The immediately obvious options are things like using a skyer, which is pretty universally used around the country and around the world now, which obviously still uses a leather cricket ball, but can help you hit the ball a little bit higher. So that's the first sort of port of call as an obvious option.
And just for people who are not sure what the skyer is, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, the skyer is effectively a short cricket bat with a a rubberized face which is attached to it. So that gives a little bit more rebound off the bat and propels the ball a little bit further.
It's the noise it makes.
Yeah, it does. And to be honest, they take a little bit of getting used to, especially if you're going to try and use them in different environments rather than just pumping the ball straight up in the air. But they're pretty useful, and I've got one. I know, I presume Gareth still uses his one. Do you, Gareth?
I do, mate. I take great pride in hitting it as high as I can, I have to say. I really enjoy it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that makes the coach's job a little bit more exciting is you maybe do find a limit that with a normal bat, you can only hit a ball so high. For me, I'd like to think I can hit it high enough for a higher catch, but a Skye is one option. And obviously the prices, I think there are two or three different options, and various different companies doing their own model as well these days, but they probably range from sort of £30 up to about £60 or £70, I would have thought, but they're a pretty good first option. I know a lot of other people like to use the sidearms for fielding practice as well. It's not so easy for high catching as it is for general long throwing, and throwing out to a boundary, but people do like to do that. Again, if you've got a sidearm, which most people will know is a dog ball thrower sort of thing, they're very popular around the world as well these days. They do a decent job as well, and it takes a little bit of skill again to use them in the high catch capacity, but they're pretty good. Apart from that, and apart from using either of those two or propelling the ball with a bowling machine, which you can easily flip up in the air and fire up in the air, which is another simple way to do it.
Yeah.
And no doubt more fun when you put the speed up. I would then suggest that your next option is, rather than hitting the ball higher to make the catch harder, is just changing the situation of the fielder and the position they're in, and trying to challenge them in that way. However, he does seem to be focused on hitting the ball higher as his primary objective.
Yeah, Gareth, I mean, high catching, that is something that the coach needs to work on as a skill. It's not something you just do straight away, is it? It takes a little bit of practice to get the hang of hitting it in the right place with the right part of the bat and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it does. And I'm a big fan of, as coaches, always extending our delivery skills. And the word skill there, refers to the fact that we need to practice it to really fine tune that. And on the level three fielding that I run, it's a big part of it. You know, if we can't deliver the ball into challenging situations for our fielders to stretch their own fielding capacity, then we can't really, expect our fielding teams to get that much better. So I'm a big fan of delivery skills, and the things that Sam's just talked about help us to deliver more testing balls into the fielding environment to develop our cricketers. So that's great. One of the things that you can do out in India, actually, is one of the brilliant things India is good for is rubber. And you can pick up rubber balls out there very, very quickly and cheaply in all manner of places, including off the streets, and hitting a rubber ball of a reasonable weight. I'm not talking about a cricket ball weight, but just maybe slightly under. You can get the ball to propel quite significant distances and heights off of the bat with a minimal effort. And obviously, the more effort you have to put in to try and propel the ball, in the mainstay, will be less sort of accuracy in where you're hitting it to. So if a rubber ball is doing the work for you, then it means that you can get really accurate in how you're asking your people to move around and catch, which is great. So that's one option. Another option is to get hard tennis ball. So there's some really good hard tennis balls that don't compress as much when they're hit, and actually hit them with tennis rackets. And although the weight of the ball is going to be less than the cricket ball, particularly when you're working with youngsters that want to be challenged, it's a really good way to build up their competence and also their confidence, because they won't be getting the bruises whilst they're learning the art of high catching. And then you can progress them forward towards a cricket ball and overloading in that way. But it's a really good thing to do, is to get the hard tennis balls and to ping them up off the tennis rackets. And again, they're fairly inexpensive, which is good. And the whole reason why the Skye was developed a few years ago was out of somebody's great idea of how you can combine rubber with a cricket bat, and the fact that I grew up on a cricket ground in a huge bowl where us kids would stand down the bottom of the bowl, and our big all-rounder Jeff Hose would stand at the top of the bowl, about 65
above our head and bellow cricket balls up into the air with his Graham Gooch Turbo 333 bat. Oh, we'd all be carrying underneath these huge skies. And it helped us to develop our catching massively. So that was the whole concept. It was a combination of some practicalities in terms of the kit and the idea and the concept, which came from me learning how to catch balls at the age of 9, which were going up into the stratosphere. So, you know, if you've got an elevation, and maybe in India you have in some of your few places, then use it. You know, get to the top of something. If there's a hill near your cricket ground that you're working on, some wasteland or something, then get up as high as you can, and that gives you an extra bit of height. Because that's where the idea for the sky came from. So rubber balls, tennis rackets and hard tennis balls, in addition to Sam's brilliant ideas about the sky bats and the sidearms, which you can use. But again, it takes practice, and delivery skills are crucial for a coach. And all of a sudden, you'll have your team plucking balls out of the air like nobody's business.
Yeah, and it looks great when somebody confidently gets under a high catch and takes it as if it was just, you know, lobbed to them from 5 yards away. Always looks great, doesn't it?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely awesome, mate. I think it's one of the great sights when somebody makes this ball that goes up in the air. And we've seen some great catches in the Big Bash. You know, and when I say great catches, I don't mean full-length catches where they've chased after it for 40 yards. There's been some absolute monster sky balls in the Big Bash, which have been taken as if it's just been underarmed around the field to them. And that's purely because people are overloading their practice, and the catches that they're getting into games now are easier than the ones that they're executing in practice. Now, if we can start our kids off at younger ages, even if it is with tennis balls, catching balls that are coming from a higher height, or they're having to run further than they will do in any game, then they can show off on that pitch and pluck the ball out of the sky with as if it's just being chucked to them from deep cover to mid off.
Yeah, so great stuff. Sanagita, you're on the right track, and hopefully some of that advice will get some of your young players up to the highest possible levels of fielding, and you can be proud of what they're achieving.
So here we are, it's first soapbox of the year, and predictably Berners is away, so the boss man, Mr. David Hinchcliffe, the head coach, is getting up and he's going to give us a minute of his musings.
I wanted to talk about poor old Stephen Finn, who seems to have been going further and further backwards as the Ashes tour has continued, and it's a bit of a shame because, you know, he's got all the raw talents to be a really good fast bowler, but some things happened to him which has knocked him back in some way. And I think possibly one, you can never say for sure, but one thing that often happens with players is they start bowling or batting on instinct, and then as time goes on they get exposed to more technical information, they start to get more and more technical, and often that can put someone backwards as you try and stick by the rules that you've been told about and you forget about the instinct that you had in the first place. So often it is the case in the middle of a career that someone gets a little bit too technical and they have to go back a little bit more towards the instinctive side of things as they mature as a bowler or a batsman or as a fielder. And I think for Stephen Finn, maybe it's time to go back and be a little bit more instinctive as well as being technical. And that is the end of the show for another week and the start of another year of the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. I'm looking forward. It's going to go from strength to strength, I'm sure. But before we head off into the internet sunset, we've got to decide on the best question of the week, which of course wins that online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. So we had Wolf's question about apps, or a specific app, and we can talk more about apps in general, and Sangeeta's question about high catching. Gareth, which one did you prefer?
Well, I love an app, as you very well know, but this week Sangeeta's actually come up with something that I probably love even more than apps, and that is fielding. So the high catching question wins the day.
Congratulations, Sangeeta, you win an online coaching course. And Gareth, if someone wanted to get in touch with the show and they were thinking they could have their chance to win the prize and certainly get their question answered, what would they need to do to get in touch with us?
First thing you could do is give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
Yes, indeed. Of course, you can also tweet us at pitchvisionacad, and you can find us over on Facebook, posting videos and all the rest of it. And that's facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. I'll give you the details on what to do if you want to subscribe. But before we go, Labours, can you tell us a little bit about the stuff that you're doing on Pitch Vision Academy, the job section there?
Yeah, basically we've put together a jobs section on the website, which is there to really offer people a one-stop shop of jobs from around the world. So there are probably I can think of about 28 or 29 websites in the UK where you can go and find a job that's related to cricket. And similarly in Australia, I can think of 8 or 9, and then you can look at New Zealand, Pakistan, South Africa, etc. However, there's no one central hub for them, and that's what we're trying to create, is a place where anyone who's looking for a job in cricket can just come, and they can go to the one central point, which is pitchvision.com/jobs. And if they go there, they can have a look, and there will be jobs from all corners of the world, anything cricket related, largely coaching related. However, there will be some sort of management and administrative roles in there, which I know a lot of cricket coaches who are trying to sort of make their way in the cricket world to have to combine roles, and if they can do that maintaining within cricket, that's great to do. So we're just trying to have a single site where anyone anywhere who's looking to pursue a career in cricket can do that. And so far we've probably posted about 60 or 70 jobs over the last 2 months or so, and it's going pretty well. So if anyone is looking for a job or a career in cricket, that's the place to go, at pitchvision.com/jobs.
Lovely. And while you're over there on pitchvision.com, then you can also subscribe to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can use iTunes to do that, of course. If you just search for us in there, you'll find us, click the subscribe button. But if you don't use iTunes, then you can head over to pitchvision.com/jobs. Once you've finished applying for a couple of jobs there, then click on the podcast link at the top, and all the details for subscribing to the show in any podcatcher you want are there. Now that's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Labours.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, guys.